World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning here. The 24th day. They call this what, Christmas Eve? Is this Christmas Eve? Wow. Just a warning or a heads up. No show tomorrow. Christmas. I mean, I'm hardcore, but not going to do a show on Christmas. And then we're not going to do a show on the other day. Let me explain why. We are launching this weekend an initiative. As many of you out there know, we've staked the Mississippi River. We've been up to the far north part of it. We've been to St. Louis. We're doing an initiative this weekend in New Orleans where the Mississippi River dumps into the Gulf of America. I guess they changed the name of that. And Pastor Dale has really kind of organized that for us. And there are many of us. I'm jumping on a plane. Several of us are jumping on a plane. And we're heading down there to complete this initiative so that you can maybe keep us in prayer as we do that. And I just ask all of you, maybe you could throw a few bucks for us for this initiative. We got guys that are flying down there. We got to get some hotels. We got to buy some food. So anything that you could help us with this initiative, we would really, really appreciate it. And that way you become part of it. And again, we're going to be down there in New Orleans at the mouth. Is that the mouth? I think that's the mouth of the, no, because it flows the other way. Then would you call it? You wouldn't call that the mouth. But just keep us in prayer because we're going to, complete the mission and we start out. It's quite a story. It's quite a story. So if you want to be able to help us out, Spencer, just throw that up there real quick on the screen so they can see how they could dump a few bucks in there. You know, if everybody could give 20 bucks, it would really, this sounds nuts. If 100 people gave 20 bucks, it's $2,000. And it would really help us out to be able to do that. And Spencer's showing you how to do that. It's on the screen right now. Just go there and donate. Boom. We got it. And we're going to use the money, for expenses for those who are making the trip down there. I don't know how many of us there are. Dale's church is involved with it. Thank God that they're leading the initiative down there. But, you know, I'm going down there. Randy's going down there. Randy's taking the crew with him. Several of us are making the trip down there. So God bless you. Thanks. Any questions on that before I move on here? That's why there's no show on Christmas, the day after Christmas. We'll be down there. We'll be back. We'll be back on the weekend. Cool. All right. I came across something really, really interesting this morning, and I really want to. How well do you know your ancestors? If I were to ask Betty Perkins, or I were to ask Jean, or I were to ask Mel, how far back in your lineage do you go? Do you really, really go? Do you really know? How far back? I knew my grand. I knew my great grandfather, but I didn't really know anything about him. Didn't really know where he came from, what he grew out of, all that stuff. Go ahead, Mel. I got your hand up.
Yeah, so I was, I wrote that down the other day. I know, I've known five of my generation, so you kind of have, you know more than me, but it is kind of amazing how many generations we touch.
Yeah, well, I'm going to show you this here, okay? And one of the reasons I think this is so important, here's the focus of where I'm going today. The devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, that team, whatever, we know this, they have a divide and conquer mentality. The last thing they would ever want is for Christians to all be on the same page. And all you have to do is look around. As he said, there's 42. Spencer, Google that so they don't think I'm lying. Go to Wikipedia and Google how many Christian denominations there are. Remember this, right? How many Christian denominations? I don't want you guys to think I'm making this up. I'm going to show you something here. Stay with me. How many Christian denominations? Spencer's having trouble spelling this morning. I should have had that up there for him. What's it say, Spencer? Christian? They want money. Wikipedia wants money, so we got to find it. How many? The number. There we are. There we go. Christian denominations. Click on that. Here's a list of all Christian denominations. There you go. And then they're going to give us a list. There's 42,000 different Christian denominations. And again, the object is to divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And so if you look at what's going on all across the culture, come out of Christianity a while and look at the divisions, how they like to divide us by race. Blacks and whites and Hispanics and Italians and blah, 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 blah. When in fact, ain't none of us purebreds. None of us. There it is. There's an estimated 45,000 to 47,000 Christian denominations. Not churches. Different forms of denomination. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Orthodox tradition. 45,000. Is there any wonder why we can't get organized? Divide and conquer being the oldest trick in the book. So I want to scroll down to the next one, Spencer. Christendom, a list of all 46 types of Christianity. Types. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Wow. Divide and conquer. I'm going to show you some of that, okay? So just bear with me here a second. And I'm going to take you on a history lesson, a little bit of a history land, to let us know ain't none of us pure breeds. Ain't none of us pure breeds, okay? I want to start out with, Spencer, if we can, pull up Victor Davis Hanson, the very first thing. And I just saw this on Facebook yesterday, which is what kind of prompted me to go here this morning. I promise you this, you're going to enjoy this, okay? You're going to enjoy this show. It may be a little bit different than what we've been doing, but I think it's important we see it. So this is from Victor Davis Hanson. Go ahead, play it.
Governor Gavin Newsom has now approved a formal commission to administer reparations. Remember, when California was admitted to the Union, it came in as a free state. It had no prior record of being a slave state. It has never been a slave state. So there's no argument that people who happen to be in California are owed anything. Who is black? In a multiracial intermarried culture, are we going to go back to the Elizabeth Warren rule? Do we need DNA badges? How do we know who is white, who is Hispanic, who is black? It's very hard to adjudicate that. How many black Americans that are residents of California could trace their lineage back to California? Do we really believe that most of the African Americans in California who came after World War I and during World War II have descendants that were suffering the fallout from slavery in California? It's really absurd, Governor.
Okay, so it's really absurd, first of all, to think that any of us looking at me right now are what we would call a purebred, okay? Whatever that means, ain't no purebreds left, okay? That they try to tell us with the British monarchy, it's a purebred. Pull up the seven races of the world, number two. Did you know that there are seven races? Now, listen, when we're talking races, there's the human race, okay? There's the human race. That's it. We're all human beings. But they like to divide and conquer us. Here are the seven races. Did you know this? I didn't know this. African, American Indian, or Alaska Native. This group includes the indigenous peoples of America, Alaska, with diverse cultures and languages. Number two, Asian. I'm not going to read all of them, okay? You can read. Number three, black or African-American. Hey, folks, Africa is a continent. Why do we call them African-Americans? It's a continent, right? European, are we all European-Americans? Are people who are Antarctic-Americans? Antarctica-Americans? Are the people that are European-Americans? No, because when we get Europe, then they're Italians and they're Polish and they're German. And you with me? This is all game that they're playing on us, okay? Then you have Hispanic or Latino, excuse me, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders. White, often referred to as Caucasian. This group includes individuals of European descent. Middle Eastern or North African. This category includes people from countries in the Middle East and North America. So we have right here seven different, we wouldn't call these races. What would we call these? Ethnicities? Ethnicities. You know, I'm looking at Betty right now. Betty looks to me on the screen. She looks pretty white to me. She looks like a purebred white. Do you guys think she is? I'd say she probably isn't. I'd say she probably isn't. Why? Wow. Okay, so I want you to see that, and then I want you to go to this. Seven generations. Okay, hang on. How long have we been here? How long have we been? According to the Bible, how long have we been here? Anybody know? Come on.
Hello. 6,000 years.
Thank you, Dale. 6,000 years. And we talked just last week about lineage. Most of us can remember back maybe five. How many generations would there be in 6,000 years? And remember this. Christ said, or the Bible says, there is no Jew, there is no Greek. There is no black, there is no white. There is no male, there is no female. Because the body is nothing more than the container by which you live. You live in that container. And you are colorless, you are raceless, you are, ain't got nothing to do with it. And it's the oldest trick in the book is divide and conquer, okay? Okay, so number five, how many races are there in the world? By the way, what is a race? What is a race? Spencer, that might be good. Look that up real quick. What's a race? Stay with me. I promise you're going to enjoy this. What is a race? Race is a social construct, not a biological reality. It's used to categorize people into groups, so they can divide and conquer. Black churches, white churches, Hispanic churches, Polish churches. You with me? Following it? This is happening even in Christianity, right? So it's a social construct. In the eyes of the Lord, there is no race. No Jew, no Greek. No. Okay, we're all trucking the same direction here. So then I said, okay, well, wow. So this, how many races in the world? There are seven races in the world. Poem number seven. Generations from Adam. You might know what a generation is. Come on, let's have a little bit of, audience participation here, class. What's a generation?
About 100 years. 120.
Yeah.
Or 40,
okay.
It goes down to
40. Yeah, huh? So really a generation would be when you are able to start having children creates a new generation, doesn't it?
20.
So really a generation for some people could be 13. Who knows how a long time ago when people were getting pregnant. They could have been getting pregnant at 13, 14 years old. We don't know. But we tend to think a generation is 20 to 25. There it is. Hey, between 20 and 25 years is a generation. So anybody, somebody do this for me, somebody really, really smart. How many generations would there be in 6,000 years if it was 25 years per generation? Somebody do some math for me real quick. 6,000 divided by 25. 6,000 divided by 25. Equals?
240, coach.
240 240. Generations.
240.
240. Right? Does anybody here right now looking at this show think they're purebred? Huh? That other than the king and other than the queen of England, is there a clear lineage? Heck no, I'm going someplace. Stay with me. So how many human generations are there from Adam until today? Well, I scroll down here a little bit. I'm not going to read all this to you. I try to give you folks references that you can use, okay? Things that you can use so that you can study this out yourself. Scroll down, Spence. Just scroll down a little bit. So he goes in and does a lot of research, age of creation, biological lineage, Anglo-Saxons, the short lineage of people. This is really, really good. I'm just not going to take the time to take you through this whole thing. Going down a little bit more, Spence. Keep going. King Charles's line. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. How many of you knew this? Adam and Eve created Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech. Nine children. And these ancestors below this lived post-flood. So after the flood, we had Noah and Jephthah and Bedwig and Hawaii. I don't even know who these guys are. Haratha, Intermon, Hermod, blah, 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 blah. Different, do we want to call them races of people? Who are these people? That are populating the earth. And by the way, who was keeping the records? Was there a county courthouse where all of these things were being recorded? So we knew. That's why Jesus said to us, there is no Jew and there is no Greek. There is no male and there is no female because we are all an interbred. We're all interbred. 6,000 years of interbreeding. You guys ever know this? This is fascinating, isn't it? Keep going on down, Spencer. These are, huh? Wow. King Edward, King Edmund, King Adjikar. Are you kidding me? Tells us 10,093. We're on 1,100. King Henry was 1,133. Okay, so put that in the chat. You can go there if you want to. This is the generations from Adam until today. Is that what that is, Spencer? Is that number 7? Is that what you clicked on? Okay, there they are. Put that in the chat. So hang on. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. You can see anybody out there, help me out and explain how the Jews could be a pure bloodline. How could the Jewish people possibly be a pure bloodline? The Dobbenmeyers aren't a pure bloodline. The Perkins aren't a pure bloodline. The Lunsfords aren't a pure bloodline. Why would we think that the Jews are a pure bloodline? I'm going somewhere with it. Hang on a minute. I got a couple hands up here. Let me get to them. I don't want to get it. Greg Yates. It's not Greg's Beth Brock. Come on in.
Hey, Coach A. I've studied this for 15 years and actually taught it. I'm the 142nd generation of grandson of Adam and Eve.
Say that again. You're 147th generation?
142nd generational grandpa is Adam and Eve through my studies. And what the thing is it's interesting, is Adam to Jesus Christ is 70 generations. Jesus Christ to right now is 70 generations. There's a lot of sevens going on right now, Coach. And the big thing is between Adam and Jesus, people lived hundreds of years.
That's right.
Between Jesus and us, the average is about 35.
How old was Methuselah, Greg? How old was Methuselah? Do we know?
He was 900 and something years.
907 years.
Yeah, 969.
Folks, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. When you dig in, I got some more stuff here. Come on in, Craig. Or Gino, come on in, Gino. You're ahead of him.
Well, I was just thinking, the way I was reading, that Adam and Eve was the creation or the bloodline to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is really the only true bloodline from umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Well, that's why Christ had to come. But
Gino says right here, Genesis 5 and 10, that Noah was in the 10th generation from Adam. Noah was 10 generations from Adam, right? And a generation, well, as Greg just said, we don't really know what a generation is. We like to say it's 20, 25 years. But Methuselah was 916 years. How many children did he have? Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off, Gino.
That's okay. You're going good. You're going good.
Okay, Craig, go ahead, Craig.
Well, I put in the chat a couple things. One is there were 76 to 77, if you count Adam to Jesus. All right.
Hang on now. 77 generations from Adam to Jesus.
Right. And so if you pull up Luke 3:23, you have the genealogy of Christ. All the way back to Adam. And it's very important because, you know, just as Noah was perfect and was righteous in his generations, the bloodline to Christ was monitored by the Most High.
Okay. So, Craig, what does it mean that he was perfect in his generation? What do you think that means?
That way he wasn't corrupted, his DNA for Noah.
That's okay? Right.
But at the same point, neither was Jesus. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're very specific about knowing who is the lineage of Christ. And there's a big story, Coach, in that. We won't go down that road. But to that point, all right, we're roughly around, you know, we're a little bit over the 120th generation of man right now. Because, okay, if Jesus came in the year, you know, 2,000 years ago, just say, you know, you take 30 to 40, right, that would be 50 more. So we would be at 127 generations from Christ right now.
Okay, okay, cool. Now look, I don't want to muddy the waters, okay? Stay with me a second. Not that you're muddying the waters, Craig. You're on page 83 and I'm on page 2 here. So bear with me here a second, all right? Greg, you want to say something?
Yeah, the generational count varies with each one of us because from Adam to me is a different line than from, let's say, so his may be 147, might be 141, and they're both absolutely correct.
Oh, this is so interesting, isn't it? So here, I want to, where is this? Here's where I start, okay? I'm a Dobbenmeyer. I'm a Dobbenmeyer. Pull up my lineage, number 9. Pull that up there. I found this on Ancestry.com. I don't know if you guys are. Does anybody know what the point is I'm trying to make? Does anybody understand the point I'm trying to make? Somebody help me out here. What's the point? Don't miss the point.
There's no such thing as purity and lineage.
There ain't no pures, folks. There ain't no pures. I'm sorry. The Jews aren't pure. Sorry. Sorry. So I just Googled this on Ancestry.com. I started to talk about this a little bit yesterday. George Daniel Dobbenmeyer, that is my great-grandfather. He was born May 13th, 1863. Do you see that up there? And then on the photos over here, so it tells you the brief history of George Daniel Dobbenmeyer, my great-grandfather. You probably can find, all of you can probably Google on Ancestry and find it out. And it says where he was born, right? Hocking County. He was one of 13. He was the youngest of 13 children. His parents had 2 sons, 2 daughters. He lived in Burn Township, Fairfield, Ohio, United States. He died July 4th, 1959. I was in the room when he died. I think I told you that, right? Then it goes down. Look at this. Look at this. Scroll down. Parents and siblings. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dobbenmeyer? His dad was a Dobbenmeyer? The heck? Dobbenmeyer? Then it's all his siblings. He had 13 siblings. My great-grandfather, okay? Great-grandfather. 8 more children. Go back up. Go back up. That's not what I want to share. Go back up. Okay, so click then on one of the first photo to the right there, Spence. There, boom. That's... Oh my, hang on. That big guy right there in the middle, that's my grandfather and my grandmother and their Melungeons. I'm going to talk about that in a second. My grandpa's in the middle. My great-grandfather is the guy with the mustache. That's Grandpa George. Then his son, John Edward, and then John Edward's wife, Nellie, Christina. And then in front is my dad's brother, Pat, and his sister Mary, okay? Actual people. These are actual Melungeon people. You with me? You with me? Now, if you would ask me right now, what nationality are you? What would I say? What would I say? Because I don't really know beyond that. I really don't even know. Click on the other picture right there, Spencer. How about that? That little guy sitting right there, that is my grandfather. Where did they get these pictures? I don't know. That's my grandfather sitting at the knee of my great-grandfather. Wow. Now, how many generations is that? Well, that's only 5 generations. Right? So I want you to see this. Am I doing okay, Betty? Am I doing okay here? Now, I hope I'm wetting your appetite. Maybe do a little bit of research on your own to find out, to understand that none of us purebred, none of us are. And it was designed by the Lord because he didn't want any special people. We're all God's people. Pull up number 3, Melungeons. Look at this. This is my ancestry, folks. This is my ancestry. The forgotten people whose DNA reveals a wild ancestry. Can I just scroll down this a little bit for you? Okay, here we are. There's Melungeons, mysterious origins. Look at that family. They're part black. They're part, what the heck are they? How would you describe those people? But I know this. They can all be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We ain't going to focus on, we don't know where they came from. We don't know where they came from. Going down. Keep going. They're tri-racial heritage. I'm a tri-racial heritage. What do you mean tri-racial? Well, Portuguese. It spells all of it out there. They, folks, these people intermarried in the forest, in the woods. They didn't have any lineage of any type of thing. They all came together and they intermarried. Tri-racial. Scroll down, Spence. Portuguese. We're part Portuguese. I don't even know what the hell that means. But the Melungeons, which is me, were part Portuguese. Grandpa and Grandma Miller and 5 children. I don't know who they are, but they're inbred. Go on down. They became Americans. Hey, Turkish, Mediterranean. Folks, they came over on the boat and they just married whoever they could marry. Go on. Dark skin, light eyes. Folks. Is that a black man? or is that a mixed race white man? There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no male, there's no female. We are spiritual beings. Going down. And what do they want to do? They want to keep us focused on our birth lineage. First documented in the 1600s, the Melungeons were. I bet you some Melungeons in this group. Going down. They were persecuted for their looks. 20 years of Melungeon research. They were the original persecuted people. They didn't fit in anywhere. They were part black, part Portuguese, part whatever. Keep going. By the way, this would be some of you too. They were outlawed intermarriage. You were not allowed to marry a Melungeon. Go ahead. DNA bombshell in 2012. Go ahead and read this. You're going to find out who this guy's connected to. And 10, go ahead. The Portuguese cover story. That's my lineage. That I don't even know it. I'm not white. Linguistic clues, the languages that they used. And then the Melungeon last names. Make that a little bit bigger. Did any of you see your name, your family name on the Melungeon list of last names? Take it real slow so they can look and see. I didn't find Dobbenmeyer. I looked. I didn't find it. But if you're an Adams, an Adkins, a Barker or Barnes or Beckler or Bell or Bennett or Barry or Biggs or a Bolin or a Bolin or a Bowling or a Bowman or a, chances are pretty good. You got yourself some mixed blood, baby. Including Portuguese, including Jewish. By the way, I think the Jews are a religion now, not necessarily a race. Resilient and revival. My wife is a Melungeon as well. She doesn't have the lineage to prove it, but she's a Melungeon. They grew up down Appalachia, right? Mystery still remains. Why? Because the Lord said there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male. It isn't about race. America's forgotten tribe, the Melungeons. And I've often said, I probably could have got a scholarship to college based on the fact that I was a minority. I was a minority. There's some of you guys that are watching me right now, you're Melungeons. You're Melungeons. Don't even identify with it. Wow. Cool. All right. I got more, but I'm going to stop right there. Come on in, Johnny.
Hey, would it be crazy to say that we're all related?
Oh, dude. We're all related to the Adam man, aren't we? At some point, it all goes back. And the whole idea of race, see, race, folks, race, it's a human race. It's a misplaced modifier. We are not a different race. We're a different ethnicity. All humans, right? I think some of us out there would be shocked, probably, if you were to go back, able to really go back in your lineage, you'd be shocked who you came from. Yeah, Ricky Blackburn, Elvis was a Melungeon. Elvis was one of us, right? He was one of us. So I did this because I don't know if Coach Norm's watching this morning. I went to Ancestry, click on number 10, because you guys could do this, by the way. You could go to Ancestry.com and you'd search for your name. So I typed in Emmett's. I'm just putting Norm. Sorry, Norm, if you're out there. Norm. Okay, well, that's all right. Okay, I got you. So just... it pops up. Jacob Emmett's. Coach Norm. Look, Coach. Jacob Otto Emmett's. I don't know if you're listening to me. I know you named your son Jacob. Look at that. Ridgefield Park Township, Bergen, New Jersey. Coach is from Bergenfield. Coach, this is your lineage. Look at that. Coach Norm named his son Jacob. You all can do a search like this and sort of find out maybe who you came from and who you were connected to. How many generations did Greg say earlier? How many? Wow. Okay, I'm going to shut up. Somebody come in. So See, there's only two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And we allow them to divide black churches, Hispanic churches, white churches, Presbyterian, Lutheran, because why? Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. Mark Trump, you're probably a Melungeon. Come on in.
Oh, definitely Melungeon. In chat, Coach, you know, color is a construct of light. You can't have color without light.
Amen.
Light is a frequency that needs time. Time is a construct between the Alpha and the Omega. So if we're to be with God, and we was with God before we were caught in this construct of time, what color were we? Before you got flesh, what color were you? See, God doesn't see color because that's a construct of time.
That's right, brother. Good point, Mark.
Right. So when we existed before we got flesh, there was only the seed of the serpent and seed of the woman, Coach. Right. Those are the races.
That's the races, man. That's it. Huh? Point number five. Did I show this already? Races of the world. How many races there are? See, folks, it's the wrong term. It's the wrong. We're
Boom.
Not races.
Boom.
We're ethnicities. Ethnicities.
Correct.
Different
Correct.
Forms of human beings. We're not different races. Okay, so look, how many races are there in the world? I said there's four of them: Negroid, Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Australoid, but not really. And then it gives you the common traits of skin color, hair color, all this physical, right? Don't miss that. A human race gets defined as a group of people with common inherited features. Stop a minute. What would be the common inherited features that we have? Physical body, nose, hair, fingernails. Those are all common inherited features. Those inherited features help us distinguish them from other groups of people. Why do we have to distinguish ourselves from other groups of people? What do they call black man marrying a white woman interracial? It's not interracial. It's not interracial. Words mean things. Anthropologists or biologists classify the entire human race as Homo sapiens. All of the different races have 99.99% of the same genetic makeup. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Genetic variations only make up 1/100th of genetic differences in human groups. The differences between races are subjective phenotypes. They make them up. Black, white, Hispanic. Concept of race is a cultural separation, not a genetic one. Do you understand that, Betty? The difference, it's a cultural separation, not a genetic one. I look at Gene, I see he's white. I look at Vinny, I see he's black. That is a cultural separation, not a genetic one, okay? There's hardly any difference at all between physical features and human evolution. So here are a list of human races. Did you guys know this? I'm 70, unbelievable. There's a Negroid, but they're Bantu Neolithic, whatever that means. These are three different types of Negroids. And then there's Caucasoid. And there's the Nordic and the Celtic and Slavic and the Caucasus and Arabic. By the way, my brain just went dead. If we do, that's why, it'll come to me. That's why they call us Caucasians, because our generation went across the Caucasus Mountains and evangelized all of England and Europe. Caucasians, Arabid, Levantine, Mongoloid phenotype, Siberian, Mongoloid, Americanoid, Bubba, Australia forward phenotype. Do you guys know this? World race on a pie chart. Scroll down a little bit. Divide and conquer. Divide. There it is. Race. World's race on a pie chart. Caucasoids, about half of the population of the world are Caucasoid, white, Caucasian. 16% are what they'd call Negroid, skin color. Mongoloid, what would that be? Well, that would be the Chinese, Japanese, and then the Australoid. That's the pie chart. How many? One, two, three, four. Four races. Go on down. So with those four human races, there they are, Negroid, Mongoloid, Caucasoid, Australoid. The Negro race then is comprised of the following groups: African and African Americans, Hottentots. You believe this? Australian Aborigines, the Negroid race is commonly found in sub-Sahara Africa. They get characterized by their slop forehead, thicker lips, or wider noses, their dark hair. Then they have the Caucasoid race, and they're the Aryans and the Hamites and the Semites and the Arabs. And they get characterized by pointy noses, vertical foreheads, pinkish or orange skin color, visible brow ridge color. That's genetics. That's physical genetics, right? And archaeologists believe that the Caucasoid developed light skin tones to receive more sunlight where they were, and pointy noses to survive dry air at higher altitudes. Note that Hispanics are not a race. Huh? Hispanics are not a race, folks. Hispanics are either white or other. Mongoloid, blah, 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 blah. Down. Put this in the chat because this is fascinating. Now, I'm going to stop a minute. Say, Coach, I ain't never heard nothing like this. You guys ever heard anything like this? And they're talking about race, and they're nobody even knows what the hell that means. Race has simply become the color of your skin. Come on in, Craig.
Well, maybe Spencer can pull up. I just put in there a link. So you always have generations and generations. You know, Mel said she's come across five, right? And so when you think about just America, like Christianity, America, you know, we always tie it to maybe the Mayflower Compact.
Right.
I talked to, I communicated with a guy because he made something. He said, I'm the 10th generation from his ancestry was on the Mayflower Compact. I mean, they literally have it. And the thing is we go, okay, you know, if we go and we use 40 or 30, you know, when do you have starting kids? Okay. The point being is it's how long a generation that someone actually lives to see something and dies. And they're the last one. I did a little search while you were on there. I said, well, when was the last person that was actually a soldier in World War One? When did he die? Well, he died in 2008. Okay. All right. But what I'm saying is when you lose the last person that's actually seen something, that generation's gone. Cause you have no eyes on it, so to speak. So literally, Coach, when you were born in 1957 or whatever,
52.
Okay. And you start dividing by like 30 and stuff like that. You're 10 generations. Okay. From the Mayflower Compact.
Mm.
And you've had a couple, you know, I mean, look how many children, you know, your daughters, and you have, you know, two or three after you already, but we're not that far. And this ties into things of the Bible. You wonder why, you know, why is Noah the 10th generation? I mean, he's the 10th from Adam, right? Why does a Moabite have 10 generations to come back in, right, to the fold? Moabites had to go 10 generations to come back in. So there's a big story in all this that you're kind of pulling up, but it's amazing to look back at our history over this country. And that's why, you know, when we went and, you know, we made a big deal about Georgia Guidestones, you know, it's 400 years, you know, we're standing here, you know, that's why Gettysburg is a big deal. You know, what have we done over the last 70 years, basically of our generation, so to speak, the generations that are in it, obviously, but man, we have really fallen since the 63, you know, since the, right.
Yeah,
since
yeah,
the 50s, amen. Right?
Amen. Amen. Mark Trump, go on in, Mark. Now I'll show you a little video. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention your list that you showed.
Say it again. I missed that, Mark. Say it again.
The list that you showed of races.
Yeah.
All right. Who gets to choose that Negroid became a race? Who gets to choose that Indians aren't a race, or Mexicans aren't a race? That makes your list invalid. Indians and Mexicans are completely different. How come Australians get to have a little bitty sliver of a race? Why do they get to have their own race? Who decides?
Yeah.
Who decides? And that makes it political. That makes it when those races were defined by those instructions, somebody wrote down what they thought the races were. It's geopolitical, Coach. Races aren't real genetics. It's geopolitical. Otherwise, Indians would be there.
Native Americans versus Hindu Indians are completely different. All right, so where do races come from, Coach? Where do the ethnicities come from? Tower
and
of Babel.
Why do we focus so much on them, Mark? That's the other question. Why do we?
Well, God did it. That's why God did it, Tower of Babel. He obfuscated us, our languages, and he spread us all around the earth. That's when it happened, in my opinion.
Amen.
So why did he do it? It's because we were so corrupt as one ethnicity, Coach. That we had to, okay? We have to be in separate races fighting, or we will destroy his creation as one ethnicity, you know? That's Amen. What's going on. Amen?
So we have to understand this, that folks, this is critical for you to understand. You are a spirit who lives in a body.
Amen.
You are not a body. Your body dies. That's why Paul said there's no Jew, there's no Greek. There's no male, there's no female. Because you are coming out of that body. And I can't explain it to you. Are angels or in the world to come? Are we genderless in the world to come? Go to heaven as a male and as a female?
Were we? We become what we were before we were conceived, Coach. If we existed in the spirit, we become a spirit. Okay? Amen.
That's right.
In some fashion. I got to stress, the Tower of Babel fell. We were divided on purpose by God Almighty. And then we only lived how long after the flood? 100 years versus 1,000. That's how corrupt we were, Coach.
Amen. Amen. Oh, this is so good. Come on in, Mel.
Yeah, so Mark had said before that there are only two races, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And that, you know, and we were just now talking about that, you know, we're spirits kind of in a meat suit. But I think that the decisions that we make, too, can determine what our race is. Because I know people that, you know, are born in families and just really choose to be a part of the seed of the serpent, you know, by what they say and what they learn and what they choose. So I think it's pretty fluid.
Well, we also know this, that Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. So of the works of your father, you will do. So there are only two, right? Those racing for heaven, those racing for hell. So the way I see it. Hey, real quickly, pull up number three, I think it is, Spencer. Pull that one up there. No, that's not it, Spencer. Wrong one. I'm sorry. Golly. Is it number eight? No. See, I got it up here on my screen. I can't figure out which one it is. Experience. That's not it. Experience his word. Which one is that? Come on in, Jack, while I'm looking for this.
I don't know why. I guess I've always been a rebel. But on those forms, government forms, when it gives all those options, check box for race, I usually circle it and check the whole thing. And when it says sex, I usually I cross it out and put occasionally. And where it says marriage, I put last. What the heck?
Because it's all divide and conquer. I want, Spencer. Good. It's all divide and conquer. So Spencer threw up on the screen right now. Look at this. How many generations span across? Scroll down. This is pretty interesting stuff. You make that a little bit bigger, Spencer. Biblical genealogy record contains in Luke 3, calculates a single generation from father to son. From Adam to Noah was 10 generations, 1,500 to 1,600 years. From Adam to Abraham was 20 generations. And from Adam to Jesus was 76 generations, 4,000 years. And since there's no biblical genealogical record from the time of Jesus to our modern day, we must identify a single generation by modern calculations. Therefore, according to modern calculations, every 25 years is a new generation. So from Jesus until now is 81 generations. Wow. You think your bloodline's pure? Huh? So now let's take the two totals and add them up. 76 Old Testament generations, 81 New Testament generations, and 157 generations total. Because Noah was born 10 generations from Adam, at the very least, Noah is everyone's 147th great-grandfather. Wow. Remember that this number is not the total number of generations that have ever lived. Has there been many more before 157? Consider Deuteronomy 7:9, for example. This study is specifically tracking the shortest number of generations possible that it would be take to trace from the beginning of time until our present day. Okay, so here's my question. Here's my question. How could there possibly be a pure bloodline Jew? I'm not picking on the Jews. I'm not picking on the Jews. How could there be a pure bloodline Jew? How could there be a pure bloodline? Pick whatever. Pick whatever. How could there possibly be one? And why? Because God did away with that stuff. He said, there's no Jew and there's no Greek. There's none. And no male, there's no female. It ain't about any of that anymore. Yet what does the world try to do? What's the world try to do? Divide and conquer us based on ethnicity, race, gender, education, divide. Come on in, Craig.
Well, let me just read what I put in the chat here. Okay. This is where we're at here, though. Okay. Transhumanism is a cultural, philosophical, and scientific movement advocating the use of technology to overcome.
Hang on a minute, Craig. Is this in the chat? Spencer, if it's in the chat, pull it up so we can read along. Okay, can't pull it up. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. It's a cultural, philosophical, and scientific movement advocating the use of technology to overcome fundamental human limitations, aiming to radically enhance human physical, intellectual, and psychological capacities to improve the human condition and potentially evolve beyond current human forms. It supports using advancements like genetic engineering, AI, nanotechnology, and cybernetics, eliminating aging, disease, cognitive constraints, leading to enhanced abilities and extended lifespans, with some envisioning a post-human future. That's where we're at right now.
Heading towards post-human. The devil wants to head towards post-human, right? The devil wants to take us post-human. I don't think he's going to be successful, but that's what he wants to do. Jeff Klein. Hey, Spencer, Dude. Hang on, Jeff. Spencer, yeah. get number three ready. No, that's not what I want. Yeah, it is. Get number three ready. Go ahead, Jeff. No. Number six ready at the two-minute mark. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, just what Craig was talking about, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that book has just come out, The Pagan Threat. It's all in there, explains all that, why they're changing all this crap and why they're doing it. I mean, it is just evil. I'm halfway through the book, and it's exactly what it's talking about. It is crazy.
Yep. Amen. Because they divide and conquer, see, we've permitted them to do that to us. Mel, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Satan is the great imitator. So it sounds like, you know, they're artificially trying to get back to the Garden of Eden where, you know, man and woman were going to live forever.
I think so. And Paul just put something interesting that all of us are, what'd you say, Paul, 99% genetically the same? Genetically, we have a different skin color, but 99, a human's a human, folks. A human's a human. Okay, Spencer, move that to about the two-minute mark. Hidden people of the mountains, the Melungeon, this is me, the Melungeon genetic history, mystery. I'm not going to show it, 16 minutes long. That's me. That's my Melungeon family, probably. Go ahead and play it.
100,000 Melungeons descend from just 15 original families. These families,
Hang on. 100,000 Melungeons descend from 15 families. Go ahead.
Collins, Gibson, Goins, Minor, Mullins, and others intermarried for centuries in their mountain communities. Church records from Newman's Ridge in Tennessee show the same surnames appearing generation after generation. A Gibson would marry a Collins, their daughter would marry a Mullins, and their son would marry another Gibson. This wasn't by choice. It was survival. Marrying outside the community meant risking violence or legal persecution. But who were these original families? Where did they come from? For 200 years, the Melungeons themselves told different stories. Some claimed to be descendants of Portuguese sailors shipwrecked on the Carolina coast. Others said they were Turkish slaves who escaped from Spanish ships. Still others claimed descent from the lost colony of Roanoke. White neighbors had their own theories, most of them insulting. They called Melungeons triracial isolates, suggesting they were a mix of runaway slaves, Indians, and white outlaws. Academic researchers in the early 1900s measured Melungeon skulls and declared them a degraded race, unfit for civilization.
That's me!
But the Melungeons kept insisting they were different. They pointed to physical features that didn't match any simple racial mixture. Many had what scientists call the Anatolian bump, a distinctive knob on the back of the skull common in Mediterranean populations. They had Asian-looking eyes but European noses. Some had six fingers or toes, a genetic trait called polydactyly that runs in certain populations. They suffered from diseases unknown in other Appalachian communities: Mediterranean fever, Behçet's disease, and thalassemia. The mystery deepened when linguists studied old Melungeon words preserved in family stories. Then came the DNA revolution. In 2002, Dr. Kevin Jones at the University of Virginia started the Melungeon DNA project. He collected samples from 120 people whose families had been identified as Melungeon for generations. What he found shocked everyone. The Y chromosome results, passed from father to son, showed an incredible diversity. About 30% carried haplogroup R1b, common in Western Europe. Another 25% had haplogroup E, which originated in Africa. 15% carried haplogroup J, found mainly in the Middle East. 10% had haplogroup Q, marking Native American ancestry. The remaining 20% was a mix of other lineages from Central Asia, India, and the Mediterranean.
Okay,
this wasn't just a triracial mix.
So we're a melting pot, right? We're a melting pot. We're melting. Now, look, I'm going to make you really, really nervous. So I'm going to make you really, really nervous. How could the Jewish bloodline be pure? How could it possibly be pure? In fact, I would bet this. I bet I got some Jewish blood. Over how many generations? None? Nobody snuck in with an impure bloodline, a different DNA? Wow. Somebody save me here. We got 8 minutes left. They've lied to us, folks. Paul said, was it Paul? No Jew, no Greek. Now, why did he just stop at the Greek? Well, he could have run down through no Jew, no Greek, no African American, no hillbilly. He could have run down the whole list, but he's saying, listen, hey, in Christ, there ain't no bloodline. There ain't no lineage in Christ. It's a spiritual lineage, folks. Spiritual lineage, not physical lineage. That's why they have the diaspora. That's why all of it went spread throughout the world, because it lines up with the gospel that whoever will come, whoever will. Whoever will. I don't care who you are a mix. Ain't nobody pure. Wow. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, you did a good job. You brought your case forward, Coach, and this is a great conclusion. Because if we're going to preach there's a separation of Jew and Gentile and all that, we have to understand what Paul's talking about. And you... So, Coach, there was four women I can tell you about in the line of the Hebrews that they can say what they want, but they defiled the lineage, anyway, through incest and different things. And I will say this too, Coach. Incest, I thank God it was a sin because it messed up genetics. You know, that's what, look at the hillbillies, you know, were inbred and they had different, just weird. They become weird in features because of it. Because
the mutations came together, Randy. That's why they didn't want you to inbreed, because the mutations in the DNA attached to each other.
So, Coach, anybody that's trying to preserve a lineage through bloodlines is really, they really don't understand anything about God and about Jesus and what God did in Christ when he brought us all back to him at the day of Pentecost. Read Acts 2:5, Coach, and you can understand that God he re-inherited the peoples in Christ right there. So now Paul can preach, there's no more Jew or Gentile. There's no more anybody. Everybody's equal in God's kingdom in that sense.
So my dad, my late father, asked this question. I really wasn't attuned much in Christianity, really. I mean, I was raised Catholic. I didn't really know much about Christianity. And I'll never forget hearing my dad start a conversation with my uncle, and he just asked this very simple question. Is someone who's Jewish, is that a race or a religion? Can you guys answer that? Is it, can you convert to Judaism? Can I convert to being black?
It's a religion.
Can I convert to being Hispanic? Can I convert to being Polish? Can I convert to being Catholic? Yeah, I can. Can I convert to being a Methodist? Yeah, I can. Can I convert to being a Jew? Yeah, I can. So we have to ask ourselves, is Judaism a race or a religion? And if we can come to the realization that Jesus said, no Jew, or Paul did maybe, no Jew, no Greek, none of this DNA, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that, none of it, at least not in Christianity, not supposed to be in Christianity. And at the heart of somebody help me finish up here. Come on. Mary Beth.
I'm just going to say, can you become a girl coach? Can you become a girl?
They're trying to tell us she can.
Little joke.
No, but they're trying to tell us that, right? The very creation that you're no longer even male and female. No, you can be whatever you want to be, right? That it's a social construct. Being a male's social construct, right? When Christ made it very clear, it's human race. We're all human race. Johnny.
It's a really good talking point when you're out sharing the gospel, is because there's so much racism going on and how shallow the topic really is.
Yes.
Is to when you're sharing the gospel, to try and get people to get their head around the truth. And knowing that what the truth is that we're all made by the same creator.
And we all need the blood of Jesus to make it to the next world. All of us do. No Jew, no Greek, nothing. No Melungeon. None of that gets me in. Brett.
It's Ohio State Buckeyes versus the team up north. No more division. Love you, coach. And don't forget, everybody watching, reach out to people that you know that aren't in the locker room again, keep recruiting them back. Thank you.
Amen. And do your own research for heaven's the Murgatroyd. Gino.
Well, I don't want to go to a different subject, but just throw this in, because there's a difference between man and animal. Evolution came along and put us in the category of animals. God created man first.
That's right. Well
animals
done.
Animals came later.
That's right. And now, it doesn't mean...
That can complicate things here.
It can, Gene, and that doesn't mean that a gorilla isn't made after the same pattern, but a gorilla ain't a human being, right?
No.
They're not a human being. So this was a little bit different today, because we need to understand this stuff, this divide and conquer, and putting you in categories and put you in groups, and look at what's going on in the religious world. I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm an Episcopalian, I'm a tongue talker, I'm the divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the book. So look, no show tomorrow, no show Friday. If you could drop some bucks in there to help cover our trip down to New Orleans. But some of us going to go down there, we're going to make a difference. We're going to complete it. Think about that. The mouth of the Mississippi up in Minnesota. The entrance into the Gulf of America. Going to do it all. And by the way, anybody watching the expose that's going on in Minnesota? And did you see this? The next governor of Minnesota is going to be who? Mike Lindell, the Pillow Man, is going to be the next governor of Minnesota.
Wow.
Is that something?
A solid, solid Christian, coach. Not just just in his name only. This guy has sacrificed. He has proven himself.
He's the runaway late leader in the race to be governor of Minnesota. Aren't you glad we went up there and staked that place? Aren't you glad we went up there and salted that? And then we're going to complete it now in New Orleans this weekend.
And coach, I'm going to jump in because I'm going to be getting off here real quick. Let me tell you what. And what is his name, man? He prophesied with Rod Aguilar, who I know you know is a godly man. This was 30 years ago that there was going to be a revival, the Great Awakening, the Third Great Awakening that was going to hit America, but it was going to start, you ready for this, in the Mississippi and up the Mississippi, counterflow.
We got to run. Thanks, Spencer. Go ahead and complete it, Dale.